Just if you found your place in the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians, chapter 3. I'll be reading verses 20 and 21. Philippians, chapter 3. The Bible says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the great assurance, the promise, the hope that we have of heaven. Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice that you made on a rugged cross to purchase our redemption and to help us with confidence to be able to sing songs like "It Is Well With My Soul." Heavenly Father, I pray that you would continue to strengthen our hearts as we seek to do your will here on planet Earth. And I pray that you would work in a mighty way as we seek to walk through the open doors that you have set before us. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would use your word once again to give us guidance and wisdom. May we have spiritual discernment to know exactly what you are saying to us. Thank you once again for the time that we'll have to look into your word. May you speak to each heart in a very special way. And we'll be careful to thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. During the period of time when two people are dating and they move to that phase where they are engaged, up until the time of marriage, amazing things happen in the lives of those two people. They make sacrifices. They make choices. They make decisions because they are looking forward with great anticipation at the prospect of being married. I will submit to you that the decisions that couples make, and I use that word, couples not in terms of being married, but you understand the context, that they probably would not make at other periods in their lives. They would spend maybe amounts of money that probably at other times they would be a little more prudent. They would just make decisions on behalf of the other person that probably sadly at other times in their lives are not made. Why? Because there is a goal. There is a reward. There is a prize to be sought after. For the lady, the glamour and the honor of walking down that aisle in that white dress and being the center of attention. After all, the wedding day is the bride's day. The gentleman just makes sure he shows up. But he's somewhat of a sideshow, wouldn't you say, ladies? For the gentleman, he can't wait for the ceremony, but I would add that he can't wait for the ceremony to be over. But suffice it to say, there is great anticipation for this wedding day. In Philippians chapter 3, we've been looking at this passionate appeal by the Apostle Paul to the saints at Philippi. And he, throughout this chapter 3 that we've been looking at for several weeks now, he shared his passion to them. I dubbed it an admirable pursuit. He talked about his life and his testimony. But he says in verse number 7, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." He engages in this admirable pursuit that he wanted to be more like Christ. He wanted Christ to be fulfilled in his life. He says in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. He said, I want to be like Christ. I want to be able to experience what he experienced. He had this admirable pursuit. But he somewhat switches his focus in verse number 15 and says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. He says, I've shared with you my passion. I've shared with you my pursuit. But in order for us to accomplish the furthering of the kingdom here on earth, it's going to require a partnership. He says there's an admonition for all of us to embrace the cause of Jesus Christ. And in admonishing them to embrace the cause, he gives them some warnings, and he says to them, listen, you need to have some discernment. You need to be aware of the traps, of the mines, landmines, so to speak, that are out there, of the enemies of the cross of Christ. Why? Because as we partner, recognize that the devil will always seek to infiltrate. Don't think that he's going to stand idly by and let the work of God go on without any opposition. But he closes chapter 3. And let me insert that when Paul wrote this, there were no chapters, but for the sake of the divisions in our Bible, he closes chapter 3 with what I want to call tonight an amazing prospect. He says, I've shared with you, look at how he's developed in this chapter. He says, I'm sharing with you some personal things, that a passion, a burden that God has laid upon my heart to go on for him and to love him more and to be more like him in every way possible. I've reached out to you and encouraged you to join in this cause. It's going to require a partnership. But he says, there's something for us to look forward to. Amen. He says, there's an amazing prospect. And he outlines this in verses 20 and 21 of Philippians chapter 3. He says, all the things that I've told you, there's something we ought to be anticipating. He says, this thing is that we're doing is not for naught. There's a prize. There's a reward. And so we want to look at this tonight in verse 20 and 21. And I've entitled it, An Amazing Prospect. There is something great to look forward to be eager with great anticipation. First of all, in the first part of verse number 20, he says, for our conversation is in heaven. Now, he uses the word here, conversation, not in the same context in which we would use this word in our modern-day English language. What he was saying here is that our citizenship is in heaven. He was saying our manner of living comes not from the earth system, this earth philosophy, but our manner of living ought to be dictated by heaven's mindset. Our conversation is in heaven. God rejects this world's philosophy. Amen? He says we are citizens of heaven. And I would submit to you that a person's citizenship is very valuable to them. Amen? We walk around with passports and documents to be able to confirm that we are citizens of countries here on earth. And people are very proud of where they are from, very proud of where they are born, and even proud of sometimes where they acquire citizenship from. When you are a citizen, listen, there are certain rights you have to that particular place. But Paul says here, remember in what you're doing, you are a citizen of heaven. We ought to have appreciation of our heritage as saints. Amen? You ought to wave your banner as a citizen of heaven with pride. You ought to be more proud that you are a citizen of heaven than even any country here on earth. You ought to have appreciation of your heritage as saints. But he says this thing about being a citizen of heaven has a little bit more to it. Not just to be glad that I'm going to heaven, but he says you have to have an awareness of the high standards. You know, how many times as citizens of a country, of our country, that we live to represent and hold up the standards of that country. You know, I've recognized, and I'm very conscious of this when I meet people and when I travel and I go to some place where someone might not know of Nevis or Saint Kitts and Nevis, and they may be inquiring, where is that? I've never heard of it. And in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, I want to be the best representative that I can be for this country. Why? Because their perception of me will shape their mindset of every Nevisian or Kittishan. You realize that? That's how important it is to be an ambassador for wherever you are from. Because someone has met you for the very first time, never met somebody from your country, believe it or not, they will form an opinion of all people from that country based on how you are. So if you go to a particular place and you are a bad representative, you stole, you cursed, you did a whole bunch of things, they're going to form that opinion of all of us. Well, the same thing happens when it relates to our citizenship of heaven. When we claim that we are citizens of heaven and we have this badge of honor and pride and we act in a way that is not in accordance with that citizenship, we bring shame to the name of Jesus Christ. And by the way, being a citizen of heaven ought to carry along with it high standards. Amen? After all, it's heaven we're talking about. High standards. He says, for our conversation is in heaven. Brethren, as believers of Christ, let us reject this world's philosophy. Reject this world's way of thinking. He says, we are citizens of heaven. But he goes on to mention, in verse 20, the latter part, 20b, he says, not only are we citizens of heaven, but Christ is our hope. He says, from whence also we what? We look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says there is some anticipation. Looking for the Savior. Eagerly looking forward to his return. I remember when I was dating, y'all say, he always had all these dating stories. Well, that was an exciting time in my life. What else do you want me to say? And when you are dating and you only see your loved one only so many times a year, when that time comes, listen, that's a big deal. A big deal. And I will be counting down the days and the hours and the minutes and the seconds until that time would arrive. Why? There's some anticipation. You're not overly taken up with what's happening. You're looking forward to an event. Amen? Brethren, when it comes to the Christian walk, we ought to be looking forward to and anticipating the time when Jesus will return. Christ is our hope. He says, looking for it. But you know what? There's something about anticipation and looking forward to something that happens. Because anticipation should not just exist by itself. Anticipation ought to bring along with it preparation. If you're looking forward to something, guess what? There's often some preparation that has to be done in order for that event to be ready, for you to be ready for that thing. And here's another thing that I used to do as I used to anticipate and in preparation. I think I told you the story. You clean up. Amen? You clean up. You get your place looking nice and ready. Do you know that it's almost a disgrace or an insult if you invite guests over to come over to your house? Mind you, not that they came unannounced, but you invited them over to come to your house. And when they come, your house is in a mess. I mean, it's an indication that maybe the guests were not as important as they thought they were. Amen? And I'm often reminded, when you go to a house, you know, somebody invites you over. Listen, don't worry. You don't have to feel badly because everybody does the same thing. Somebody invites you over to their house. And when you go over to the house, listen, everything is in place. I mean, it's as clean as a whistle. I mean, no dirt anywhere. I mean, it looks like a mini palace. And the truth is, listen, that's not how it is all the time. Is it only me? That's not how it is all the time. But that's how it is because the guests were coming over. Amen? After they leave, well, I guess everything could go back to how it was. But there was guests coming. There had to be some preparation. There has to be some cleanup activity. Well, brethren, if we're going to anticipate the coming of Christ, we have to clean up, live holy lives in anticipation of his return. Some preparation must be involved. Romans chapter 6 and verse 12 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield yourself as your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Preparation involves cleanup. But you know what else preparation involves? Dress up. Dress up. Put on your best outfit. Put on an outfit that is representative of yourself. But in anticipating Jesus Christ's return, we ought to put on righteousness. Amen? Look at Ephesians chapter 4. And look at what the Bible says here. We don't have time to read all these verses, but in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul writing here, he says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. What Paul is saying, the same thing. Reject worldliness. He says they don't know any better, but you know better because your citizenship is in heaven. Then he says in verse number 22, he says that he put off the former conversation. There's that word again. The former manner of living, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. But look at verse 24. He says that he, do what? Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Brethren, this is what is called progressive sanctification. And it's interesting that he uses the word put on and put off. It means that you have to make some intentional decisions. You have to make some intentional choices. You're not going to get dressed properly, spiritually, just by showing up. You're not going to have on the right garments, both physically and spiritually, unless you put off and put on. And I'm here speaking more specifically spiritually, but mark it down when you are transformed and you put off some things spiritually and put on some things spiritually, it's going to affect your overall appearance. That's just the reality. But he says this thing of preparation requires that you clean up. It requires that you dress up. But it also requires that you look up. I guess maybe with our advanced airport system, we probably don't get the benefit of this too much. But back in the day when I was much younger and our little airport, when an aircraft came in, that was a big event. And when it came in, you had the opportunity to stand almost from whichever vantage point you wanted, and you could see that aircraft coming from as far as the eyes could see, and you could look in the sky waiting for it to come, and you know, oh, there it is. There is my loved one coming on that particular aircraft, and you're looking up, and you're watching it, and you're tracking it all the way until it lands. Why? Because there's anticipation. Brethren, when it comes to our anticipation of Jesus Christ's return, we are to look up anticipating him. Amen? But that looking up doesn't mean that you go outside and you stand up and look up in the sky. Okay? Because believe it or not, when it happens, it's going to happen so fast. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But looking up has the indication that I have my focus on things above and not on things on this earth. And so as I'm laboring here on the earth, I'm laboring with the mindset that I'm stacking up rewards in heaven. I'm looking up. I'm tired, but I'm going to still be going because I have a heavenly mindset. I want to look up. These are all things of recognizing our citizenship in heaven, recognizing that Christ is our hope. But here's the third thing that he mentions in verse 21. He says, this amazing prospect involves the fact that we're going to be changed to be like him. Changed to be like him. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21, he says, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Can you imagine that you and I, who are born again with the blood of Jesus Christ, are going to have the amazing privilege of having a body like our Lord Jesus Christ? Wow. We're not going to have to worry about no more pain, no more sickness, no more wrinkles. And the young people are like, I don't know what he's talking about. Don't worry, you just wait. He'll come. No more concern about body parts that we think are not the shape or the size that we want them to be. Why? Because it's going to be a heavenly body. A perfect body. No arthritis. No stubbing your toe. No hair falling out. You know, I'm sure if I were to poll everybody here tonight, all of us could find something wrong with our body. Something we don't like. Am I right? When we get to heaven, we'll have a body like Jesus Christ. I mentioned all these things physically, but you know what the greatest thing about this change is going to entail? The fact that we don't have to worry about sin. I don't have to worry about having any evil thought. I don't have to worry about having any evil motive or having any evil desire. What a great day that will be. Don't have to struggle with sin and not watching that and not seeing this. A body that cannot sin. Listen, that's something to look forward to, amen? Our bodies will be changed to be like him. And then finally, notice this amazing prospect involves not only that we are citizens of heaven, that Christ is our hope, that we'll be changed to be like him, but finally, what I call, there's a comforting history. You say, Pastor, what is that? He says, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body? Look at this. According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. You know what the Apostle Paul was simply saying here? He says, God is going to change your vile body to be just like his. And just in case you are doubting the reality of this amazing truth, just remember that Jesus proved his power to be able to do this already when he got up from the grave after 3 days. And that's what he says. He says, by the power that he is able to subdue all things to himself, he says, he showed no greater power than when he conquered death. And he got up from the grave forever to show that he is in total control, that he is King of kings, he is Lord of lords. He says, oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? You are a defeated foe. And because of that, we can have the confidence that one of these days, we will be like him. He says, that's the prospect. He says, with all the stuff that's happening in this world, you have something to look forward to. You have something to anticipate. You have something to look forward to with great eagerness. He says, don't get too caught up. Don't get too distracted, because you have a great future in store. There's an amazing prospect. You keep focused. Imagine he's writing here from prison, and no wonder he's an encouragement to them. No wonder he's not dejected and discouraged and downtrodden and licking his wounds. Why? Because he says, folks, I mean, you can hurt this body, but at the end of the day, it is well with my soul. No wonder he had joy unspeakable. No wonder he had joy that was supernatural. Couldn't touch it because it was not based on what was happening around. It was based on a focus and a mindset that I'm a citizen of heaven. You cannot revoke my heavenly passport. And he has no expiration date. It was issued on that Damascus road. And it was indefinite. Remember back in those days when people used to get indefinite visas? Boy, listen, nobody feel like you, you know? Your passport come back. Your visa, indefinite. Listen, you feel like a king. To get to the great US of A. But how much better it is to have a citizen's paper, a naturalization of heaven that cannot expire. What a great thing to look forward to. And I trust that these things will help us to have a joy that cannot be diminished, cannot be taken away. And thank God for the amazing prospect that we have. I trust that that will help us and motivate us to continue to serve him with great passion and looking forward with great anticipation for his return.